This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, the duo Penny and Sparrow. It's Andy Baxter and Kyle Yonke. Guys, welcome to JPR. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about how Penny and Sparrow came to be.
We were college roommates in a huge house of a bunch of guys, and it just so happened that Kyle and I, along with one other fellow named Jake, lived in the same room. We all were musical. We all liked a bunch of different kinds as well. And so we started just covering songs for our buddies and hanging out. I mean, there were literally 11 guys living in the same room or in the same house.
What were the circumstances that led to that living arrangement?
It felt like a frat.
But it wasn't?
But it was not. You would think so.
I lived in a house just of guys that I'd met throughout college, and it kept building and building. And we shouldn't have lived in. With 11 people, we should have had an extra 6 bedrooms, I think. But we would live in about three people per bedroom, and the bedroom was very small. Andy's girlfriend at the time, a good friend of mine, now they're married, asked if he could move in, and then just it was kind of an open-door policy. Anybody who wanted to come in pretty much could. So we just took her word for it and never met the guy, and he moved into my room, and now I pretty much live every waking moment next to him. So
I would imagine that living in a house with 11 guys would make the development of a relationship with a woman different.
Well, I agree. It was hard as hell. However, a lot of us, I mean, it was good and bad. Bad because space and privacy was limited. Good because you had a bunch of guys around you that were also going through the same stuff you were. Growing up, being in relationships that were going from boyfriend, girlfriend to serious to engagement. And so we sort of all grew up together in pretty formative years of life with a whole bunch of other brothers that felt the way that we did. Mm. So that's cool.
And is it true? I don't know if this is still true, but is it true that at a certain point you guys moved back into a house together?
Oh, yeah.
You're doing it all over again.
That's yeah. True.
But now with significant others.
Last year we moved into a house together with our wives and an old roommate and his wife. And the situation was perfect. The house was had 2 kitchens, 2 living rooms, and was just all under one roof. So it worked really, really well. But that's where we recorded our most recent album. We just decided we were going to do it right out of the house. And it worked best to have everybody together.
And the house is where? Your home is?
Yeah. Well, technically our home was at that time in Austin, Texas. Now we live in a van.
We're homeless.
Not by a river, but it's all
sometimes
over the nation. Sometimes it's by a river. Also, to return for a moment back to the house that we lived in as married couples with a bunch of other married couples, we are not swingers and we're not in a cult. If you're listening and you thought that, I just want to put that to bed. But like Kyle said, situation was perfect, and we love those people so much. It was perfect.
It was just Kool-Aid on Wednesdays. We did the sacrifice on Thursday.
Penny and Sparrow are my guests live in the JPR studios. Their newest release is called Struggle Pretty. You can get information at pennyandsparrow.com. It's Andy Baxter and Kyle Yonke. Guys, what do you want to do first today?
I think we'll start with one a section of songs that's off of, it's like a hybrid, one off Struggle Pretty and one off of Ten Boom, our first full-length album. We sort of fuse them together to make one song.
Yeah, what's it called?
We'll call it Serial Doubter for the sake of argument. Mm-hmm.
Why'd you up and run away? Why'd you up and run away from me, darling? Because you don't have to, my serial daughter. Because you don't have to, my love. Why'd you up and run away? Why'd you up and run away from me, darling? Cause you don't have to, my serial daughter. Cause you don't have to, my love.
That is Penny and Sparrow live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new release is called Struggle Pretty. Information on the band and the music, pennyandsparrow.com. It's Andy Baxter, lead vocals, Kyle Yonke on harmony vocals and guitar. So I find this interesting, considering how good you guys sound together, that neither one of you really have that much of a musical background, correct? Like, you didn't grow up as musical kids, really?
Not to a huge extent. No. I think we both had music as part of our life growing up. I sang in church choirs and did one very awful stint in musical theater in high school. But hobby for sure, appreciators for sure. But, I mean,
sport ball players. We played soccer and football and baseball. And
we never dreamed that music would be a career.
You're right.
And what was the pursuit or the focus of study when you guys were at the University of Texas?
I studied biology in undergrad and went back to get my master's in public health. And Andy Baxter.
I did film.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So neither one of you really did any music through college officially?
No, not at all.
When did you start making music together?
It was about three and a half years ago now. We started, I think, when did we meet? We met like 4 years ago,
yeah,
5 years
that.
Ago. And I was learning guitar at the time, and that's the reason why we were doing covers at all, is because it was a chance for me to get to learn how to play. So we'd cover songs, and Andy's voice doesn't suck, so he would sing.
And Andy, every once in a while, I have seen you online holding a guitar as well.
Yeah, it's mostly a prop. It's a great stand-in. It's most of the time I'm learning how to play bass now, but most of the time I just sing.
Was I right? Was it a lefty?
I am a lefty.
Yeah.
I am a lefty.
We're both lefties, technically. I only had a right-handed guitar. I didn't know there was such thing as a lefty guitar. But everything else, we're both left-handed.
So did you flip it upside down Jimi Hendrix style, or did you just learn to play on a right-handed guitar?
I was not smart enough to do so, or innovative enough. I just took it for what it was worth and started playing it.
So in the early days of Penny and Sparrow, maybe even before the name Penny and Sparrow existed for the two of you, what were you doing as day jobs?
Many things. I worked for a nonprofit for a long time. I worked for a CrossFit gym as an instructor for a while. I worked at a church for a while. I had a bunch of different jobs. And Kyle did a little bit of the same.
Mainly, I worked at a nonprofit as a medical case manager for refugees. It was really cool. I got to help form a kind of a system for refugees in Austin to be able to get a little bit better health care when they came into the city.
Well, that's a cool gig.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Those pursuits have now been left behind, from what I understand. Now it's full-time music?
Yes. It is.
It was a long time coming. We slowly weaned down. We worked at the jobs full-time and then eventually went part-time everything and did music the other part and finally decided that it was probably the best thing to try to pursue this now while we could.
And tell me what that process has been like, transitioning from a day job with music as a hobby that's gaining traction to this being the day job.
Unorthodox for sure, because like we said earlier, we never had intentions at the beginning of sitting down and writing songs together like, hey, let's slowly amass this thing, push the snowball down the hill, it'll get huge, and then we'll be able to do it full time. And so for all intents and purposes, we sort of stumbled into it. Then Kyle, being both savvy and ballsy, decided like, hey, we can do this. Let's really do this. And so he was the first one to quit. He was the first one to quit his other job and to do this full time. And so at the beginning of this thing, it's no stretch of the imagination and it's not an exaggeration when I say we exist as a functioning full-time band because of that season where Kyle was everything.
Kyle was
management. He was booking agent. He was promo. He was also writing songs. And so much of we're on a granite bedrock that was built by Kyle during that season. And then he convinced the rest of us to be crazy like him and quit our jobs.
And now you live out of a van.
Now we live out of a van. Things have progressed far.
Yeah, we've really grown.
Penny and Sparrow are my guests live in the studio today. Their new record is called Struggle Pretty. What do you want to play next?
We'll do a song called Honest Wage.
Cold, it was loud, I got angry, I was everything but sober. I said things that were ruthless, and I meant them, but you told me to come over. Say he's in town and you're crying, you're throwing him one hell of a party. So I hang up and start shaking, thinking you never threw one. I wish it was easier to kiss you on the mouth like it is to work hard and earn an honest wage. But you're not always fair to me, no, like I wish you would be. Well, he's the one who left home and I'm the one who stayed. I drove when I shouldn't, but I make it. I'm feeling alright. You walk out, I'm a mess. You look perfect, yeah, I figured you might. Oh, next thing I know, I'm exploding, and everything feels awful and wrong. beside you, and the music inside is our soul. I wish it was easier to kiss you on the mouth, like it is to work hard and earn an honest wage. But you're not always fair to me, no, like I wish you would be. Well, he's the one who left home, I'm the one who stayed. Well, I wish it was easier to kiss you on the mouth, like it is to work hard and earn an honest wage. But you're not always fair to me, like I wish you would be. Well, he's the one who left home, and I'm the one who stayed. Well, I wish it was easier to kiss you on my arm, like it is to work hard, earn an honest wage. But you're not always fair to me, like I wish you wouldn't be. Well, he's the one who left home, and I'm the one who stayed. Well, I wish it was easier to kiss you on the mouth, like it is to work hard and earn an honest wage. But you're not always fair to me, like I wish you would be. Well, he's the one who left home, I'm the one who stayed. Well, I just get so angry when you say you love us both. Well, I wanna be more like him, and I wanna know there's hope.
That is Penny and Sparrow live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new record is called Struggle Pretty. It's Andy Baxter and Kyle Yonke. Information at pennyandsparrow.com. So guys, we talked about how going through college, your primary interests and pursuits were elsewhere. They weren't music. Yeah. Where does this musical sound come from in terms of influences or people that you were listening to or styles of music that you were listening to?
Kyle said one time that he sort of feels like what we're doing is what any artist is doing, which is curating all the experiences and art that you've eaten as an artist for your entire life. And once you digest that, what you make is sort of a byproduct of that. Not only what you love, but what you've digested. And so we both have a pretty varied, actually a monstrously varied set of interests in terms of music. Like between the two of us, not only we have a lot of things that are overlapping the Venn diagram in terms of our interests, but there's a lot of difference too, like stuff that he would listen to on his own or I would listen to on my own, just way off.
The way we work a lot is I'm more melody driven. I enjoy the musicality of the way the vocals sound compared to, I feel like Andy likes what they say, and I still like what they say, and he still likes what they sound.
So do you do them with like oohs and ahs and things to craft melody and then sort of turn it over?
Exactly. That's usually how the songwriting process goes. Is
you've decoded us.
Yeah, I'll just kind of make weird noises until something right sounds good, and then I'll sing it over and over and over again until Andy comes up with words, and once the words are there, then we'll start kind of swapping, and I'll say, you know what, I think this would be a good melody line here, and I'll say, you know what, this word could be better, let's switch that.
There's really one primary characteristic that I think is already obvious in the two songs that you've done for us today, which is that you guys specialize in slow. And anybody that has made music knows doing slow is hard. Doing fast is relatively easy so long as you have some talent, but doing slow is really difficult, and you guys excel at that. Your songs unfold.
I appreciate it.
You know, that they unfold over many minutes. We had a couple of months back, we had the band Fink in here.
Yeah.
And your album, when this thing showed up, reminded me of a folkier Fink.
Yeah.
These songs that just slowly build over many minutes, and you're not afraid to use space in the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an intentional style for you guys, or just what naturally comes out of the two of you working together?
It's definitely a learned style.
Yeah.
When you just are on stage with a guitar and two voices, it's just the fourth instrument is being able to totally stop. But when you're at the beginning of a career in music, you just want to dig into the guitar and sing loud, and it doesn't really work with slow songs. And at the time, that's what felt right to write. So that took a while to learn.
Yeah, they work beautifully in a room like this, you know, which is just the three of us sitting here. But is it hard to make those kinds of songs work when you're on a stage in a noisy atmosphere where that space is so full of just extraneous noise?
Well, it depends on the venue and depends, I mean, on the night. Obviously, you said earlier that fast music is easier. And my counterpoint, I guess, would be good fast music is just as hard as good slow music. But fast music in general allows a listener to disengage more readily. I can sit there and turn to my buddy and have a conversation or order a beer in the corner of the room and go unnoticed during fast music. But during slow music, you know, you inhale too sharply and I'll hear it from the stage.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's hard to do that. It's hard to engage a room. It's hard to, an already noisy room, to get them to listen and to pay attention. But ultimately, it's sort of like a goal of Kyle and I's every time we step in front, be like, I bet and hope that we can shut them up and that they'll engage.
Mm-hmm. The last time I remember sitting in this room and hearing a song unfold in front of me that had that kind of poignancy and that kind of draw due to space and slow tempo was a guy who I think that you guys have referenced before as being somebody you listen to, Noah Gunderson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Young guy from up in Washington. He's got a song called Cigarettes.
For sure.
And the first couple of strums on the guitar are followed by this incredibly long pause, and you're drawn into it, and I hear the same kind of thing, and I experience the same kind of thing listening to many of the songs on your record.
That's high praise. We listen to Noah a ton.
Yeah, I mean, there's that initial, you know, scene setting, but then you're not afraid to sit and wait and let the listener come to you before you continue with your story. The other thing I want to ask you guys about, and this has been written about a fair bit online, is that there is a strong but not overt spiritual presence to a lot of the songs you write, the lyrics you write, the references that you make in the songs. Mm. Is that at all a difficult struggle for you to determine sort of where on that spectrum you're going to fall in terms of how much you put out there into your music?
I suppose the goal would be to not even think about the spectrum in terms of what percentage we are of this or that genre, because more than anything, we happen to be, the music that we make is an overflow of the type of men that we are. And so the type of men we are is going to come out in our lyrics. It's going to come out in the musicality. It's going to come out in the genre that it's perceived as. And whether that's raw and gritty or seemingly spiritual or not, what you're hearing is an overflow of who we are.
So, or who we want to be, I guess.
Yeah, or where we'd like to be. But we're pretty honest with it. It's pretty autobiographical in terms of not a lot of front in terms of what we sing about.
Hmm. So you mentioned you quit this year, your day jobs to take on music full time, and you're now traveling as a foursome because each of your wives now goes with you, right?
That's true.
So, like literally
correct.
The four of you living out of a van.
And one dog.
And a dog with you. This is your first headlining tour, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pick? You know, I guess, you know, Kyle, you were doing sort of band management for a while. That has moved on to one of your support crew. But
how do you pick
where you go? I mean, how
luckily we have an incredible booking agent that helps us decide where we should go, and a management team that'll say, hey, this is what we should do in the city. So we're thankful for them, and it honestly was getting, that was a huge make or break point. Like, okay, I can't do all of this anymore. So, and people who can book shows are seriously angels, because it is, and genius, because it is impossible to do what they do.
So outside of your relative home base around Austin, where do you see it working so far?
There's a few hot spots, thankfully, be it by connection or because when we had a moment to shine, we did well in the time that we got. The Pacific Northwest is good for us. We love playing in Portland. We love playing in Seattle. Some of the best shows that we have in our memory bank over the past 3 years have been in the Pacific Northwest. It's been great for us in LA. It's been great for us in New York. There's been little pockets all throughout, but I would say Thankfully, we tend to go into a new market, and sure, there are some where we play for three people. But there's also some that we've never been to a place before, and there seems to be a room full, which is cool.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you guys here. It's nice to meet you both.
Yeah, thanks, man. You too.
Penny and Sparrow, my guests, live in the studio. It's Andy Baxter and Kyle Yonke. Will you play us one more?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to do?
Do a song called Rattle.
I'm no good at waiting on any kind of talk at all from you to me each day. And I'm so sorry, I never can quite seem to pull my weight. And I don't want to rattle, and I've got no plans to let myself get tossed away. But this muscle, oh, this muscle could never lift a thing without you anyway. And you have me, you have me, you have me only. When I keep, when I keep, when I keep listening, when you wanna come and stay here. And yeah, depending on the day, I wanna let you in. But I know me, yeah, I know me. I'm scared I'll just wake up and want you gone again. 'Cause I'm not proud, I'm not proud of me. So how could you, how could you, how could you ever be? I'm not proud. I'm not proud, I'm not proud of me. So how could you, how could you ever be? No. Took me so long to realize you've always felt that way.
That is Penny and Sparrow live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new record is called Struggle Pretty. It's Andy Baxter on lead vocals and Kyle Yonke on harmony vocals and guitar. PennyandSparrow.com is the website to learn more about them, or you can connect on Facebook. Andy, Kyle, thanks again for dropping by and visiting with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.